by a woman named Kathleen Patterson called Watchmen Tell Us of the Night. I volunteered to work Christmas Eve because I was trying to put off going home. I mean, who wants to go home at Christmas time empty-handed? My wife would understand. In fact, I don't think she was expecting anything anyway, and she probably would have been mad if I bought anything other than food. Have you ever heard of a hungry farmer? Well, okay, I'm not a farmer, at least not anymore. But my daddy was, and his daddy before him was. And they left me their land and their dreams, and I lost it all. If only I had not bought that fancy new tractor. If only it had rained. If only I'd planted soy instead of wheat. If only. A bunch of if onlys, and my house and my land, my granddaddy's house and land, were auctioned off for a quarter of what they were worth. Now my wife and my two little girls live in a rundown city walk-up. Sheila, she's 6, and Michelle's 4. But hey, I'm lucky, right? I have a job. I'm the night watchman at Friedman's Department Store in the Pinecrest Mall. Got me a blue uniform, a cap like a Navy officer, a flashlight as big as a baseball bat hanging from my belt, and a gun snugged nice and tight into a leather holster. My Sheila saw me all dressed up once and told me I looked like a movie star. My wife just burst into tears. I'm just glad my mom never lived to see this day, nor my dad for that matter. I don't think he'd ever forgive me for losing his farm. In fact, I'm not sure he forgave me for being his child. But hey, that's not the story I'm going to tell you this evening. You see, it's coming up to Christmas, and nobody wants to work Christmas Eve. So the boss offers an overtime shift, 6 to 6. I jump at it. I've got nothing but candy and a few $1.99 stuffed bears to put in the stockings anyway. And who knows, if I work really hard, maybe next Christmas will be different. They close the store at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and by 8 I look out the doors and across an empty parking lot. There's a few cars on the north end where the all-night people's is still sucking in a few last-minute shoppers. But all that empty asphalt makes me feel kind of lonely, so I just go back to the lounge and pour myself a cup of coffee and turn the radio on. They're playing Christmas music, and I almost flip it off right away. I'm not really that much into Christmas this year, but they weren't playing Santa Claus is Coming to Town or something like that. They were playing Christmas carols. And hey, I tell myself, that's what Christmas is all about, right? Jesus being born in a barn. I don't want you to think I blame God or anything for my troubles. I mean, heck, it was probably all my fault if I had been smarter. My dad always said I was too dumb to milk a cow with two hands at the same time. But to tell you the truth, I'm really not that big on God this year. I prayed, I really prayed. I couldn't believe God would want me to lose that land. It was kind of a trust that my granddaddy had given to me. And he was a fine Christian man. Went to church 3 times a week and made his kids swear to never smoke or drink, and my daddy never did either. In fact, he ended up being a deacon, and when he died, the church was packed with people to say goodbye to him. I used to go to that same church, not every week. As a farmer, it wasn't easy to get away every week. But my wife always went and always took the kids to Sunday school and everything. And when things started to get real tight, she told me I should pray more. And so I tried. I really tried. I prayed that it rain, that it would rain, and it didn't, not for 2 whole years. I prayed that the John Deere man would take the tractor back for half of what I owed him for it, but he wouldn't. I prayed that the price of wheat would go up, but the bottom fell out. Finally, I just gave up praying for the piddly little things, and I said, God, forget all those little things. How about just giving me a miracle? And so here I am. I've made my hourly rounds, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm listening to While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night on the radio and thinking about how the first thing I had to sell off was those stupid sheep. My daddy would never keep sheep, said they were too dumb, but maybe I just liked having things around that made me feel smart. I could look into the eyes of an old you, and she would give me this worshiping look back like she trusts me with her silly life. Maybe that's why some people keep dogs, but I was always partial to sheep. Yeah, I could go for a miracle, one that would give me back enough land to keep a few sheep. How about it, God, huh? Well, there I was leaning back, my feet up on the table next to the coffee maker, my eyes closed when I hear this noise. My feet slam to the ground. I reach over and shut the radio off all in one motion, and then I just listen. Now, if you've ever been in an old building by yourself at night, there's lots of noises, and an empty department store is no different. The first night I was on duty, I nearly shot a heating duct right through the heart. If I hadn't caught myself and if I could have shot straight, heat was always making noise going on and off. I sat there and I listened, and I could hear the wind blowing the flaps of the vent in the ladies' room, and there were a couple of other squawks and groans that I just learned were part of the scenery, even though I was never able to find what they were coming from. But I didn't hear any of those ordinary noises anymore. I could just hear the sound of my own breathing, hard and fast. And then I hear it again. It's faint and far away. Must be way in the back of the building, a weird sound. The only thing I could figure is it sounded like a lamb out on a hillside bawling for its mama. So I kind of shake my head to make sure there's no cobwebs in it, and then I head out in the direction of the sound. There's lights on in the store, but they're the security lights, you know, kind of low and spooky. I realize I'm starting to sweat some, and then I remember, pull your gun. Never walk towards a strange sound with your gun in the holster. Those were the instructions during my training. If you want to call it training, half a day, a couple hours with an experienced guard, and then I was on my own. But I pull my gun out of the holster, and I can still hear the sound. It's coming from the loading area where all the crates are piled, all the empty boxes. Anyone, when I walked out that door, could have drilled me right through the ticker, and I wouldn't have even known what hit me. I realized that I was sweating so much now that as I got to the door, I had to take off my cap and wipe the sweat off my brow just to see to walk through the door. Probably a cat, I tried to tell myself. There are plenty of them behind the A&P digging in the garbage. All we got behind Friedman's are empty cardboard boxes from the floor models. But how's a cat to know, right? Could be a new cat on the block. He's got to check out all the garbage areas before he finds out the ones with all the goodies in it. At least that's what I tried to tell myself. So I push the door open gently, and I start to sneak through, flashlight in one hand, gun in the other, and bam! I'm sprawled out on the deck. Gun goes flying one way, flashlight goes the other. Fortunately, I'd never taken the safety off, so the gun didn't go off. And anyway, I yell, "Who's there?" And this box under my legs starts to squall. Well, I figure whatever's in it's not going to do me any harm unless it's some delinquent midget or something. But I can hardly stop shaking. And finally, I gather myself. I go pick up my flashlight, and I pick up the gun. And I shine the flashlight into this Zenith stereo carton, right into the face of a wrinkled-up, pink-nosed baby. A baby. Couldn't have been more than a month or two old, judging from the size of it. "Hey, you!" I yell at the refrigerator cartons. No answer. I kept yelling, "Get back here and get this kid!" Stove boxes didn't answer. Dishwasher crates didn't answer. "I mean it," I yell. "You can't just leave this kid here. You can't just walk off. It's against the law." Well, I wasn't really sure it was against the law, but it should be, right? You shouldn't be able to leave a kid like that. I keep yelling for a while and watching for some sign of movement, but everything is still, except for this kid, who by this time is putting up such a fuss, squawking and shaking the box so hard that the Zenith lightning bolt looks like it's actually a lightning bolt coming to life. And so I give up and take the kid inside. Shouldn't leave a kid outside in the cold like that. Really, I thought, I can't believe anybody would leave a baby like that anywhere. On TV, right, when anybody leaves a baby on a doorstep, there's always a note, right? So I look for a note, no note. I do find a bottle about half full and one spare diaper. Not exactly long-range planning, but I figured it would get me through till 6 o'clock in the morning, right? So first I change the kid, and it's a boy. I've never really fussed about not having a boy. My two girls are the sweetest things, and I think I'm kind of a hero to them. And then I remember my daddy and his daddy, and my daddy and me, and maybe guys in our family are just not that good at dealing with sons. But here was this little guy, churning his legs like a fullback and yelling his ugly little head off, and I could feel something the size of a baseball starting to come up in my throat. The bottle's icy cold, and as you could guess, I take off the nipple and warm the milk for a few seconds in the microwave and test it on my arm. Now, what, you didn't think I knew how to warm a bottle and test it? I mean, two kids of my own and a whole barn full of bottle-fed lambs. I knew what I was doing. I was a pro at this. Now, some of you might be wondering by now why I hadn't called the police. I could give you lots of reasons. None of them would be true, except that it never dawned on me to call the cops. I bet maybe something was gnawing at me inside. I mean, why else do I smuggle the kid out past Gus when he comes to relieve me at 6 o'clock? This was my secret, and I didn't want to have to explain the whole thing to Gus. I get home, and to be honest, usually after a night shift, I have to trudge up the 4 flights of stairs. But today, I bounced up those stairs, baby and all, walked into the door, and the lights were still off. When I was young, we used to get up in the middle of the night to see what Santa Claus brought us, but maybe my kids have learned not to expect anything. And so I remembered that we had some cloth diapers when Michelle was a baby. So I change the kid and wrap him in a blanket, and I tiptoe into the bedroom, and I put him right down on the bed beside Pauline. "What time is it?" she says. I always laugh with Pauline. She always wants to know what time it is. I joke with her, on Judgment Day, the trumpets are going to be sounding, and Pauline will be asking Gabriel what time it is. She always wants to know what time it is. I just say, "Merry Christmas. Look what I brought you." She turns and sees the baby, and her eyes get as wide as satellite dishes. "What the heck?" "I was praying for a miracle," I said. "And here comes this baby." Well, obviously, she makes me explain, and I do. "Why didn't you call the police?" she said. Well, I didn't want to explain to her that it never dawned on me to call the police. So I just said, "Well, why would I call the cops? The kid hasn't done anything wrong." "You know what I mean," she says. Pauline's that very practical type. And then she gets really soft because she's cuddling with the baby and looking into his little pinched face. "You know, Gary, we can't feed another baby. You know that, right?" Well, I'm starting to try to figure out an answer. But then the girls come running in. There's Pauline holding this baby, and Michelle is ready to explode. "Baby Jesus! Baby Jesus! Sheila, I told you Santa Claus was going to bring us something wonderful this year." She kind of got her Christmas stories mixed up. Well, I look at Pauline, and Pauline looks at me, and there's no way we could tell her that somebody left this beautiful little ugly kid in a Zenith cardboard box out behind Friedman's department store. This was our private little miracle. Oh, I'll put a personal in the paper asking for the person that left the package at Friedman's department store to contact the name and number below and claim what they left. But that's all I'm going to do for now. I'll figure out how to feed them. I'll even figure out how to make it legal if nobody claims them. And maybe I'll even figure out how to be a better father to him than my dad was to me. But that's going to have to wait for another day. I walk down the 4 flight of stairs because on this day I wanted to see the sun come up over the empty street on Christmas morning. That morning I felt, how can I say it, closer to what it's all been about than at any time in my life. I told Pauline that I prayed for a miracle, and God gave me a baby. And isn't that what happened one other time? Isn't that what all the noise and celebration has been about for the past 2,000 years? The world needed a miracle, and God sent a baby. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.